Say good morning. Today's daf is Tzadik Beis, 92 in Maseches Ksuvos. We are picking up from Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, 91b, three lines up from the bottom. Amrei Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said the following: Ruvain Shemachar Sada LeShimon Shaloba Achrayas. Well, say these are really very interesting cases here. So Ruvain sold a field to Shimon without Achrayas. Now, without Achrayas means no responsibility. Now, well, so now what does that mean? So that, remember, we already know this, but there are two ways that you can sell a field. If I'm selling a field to Ruvain, so I could sell it with Achrayas, without Achrayas. So without Achrayas just means, I guess today you would call it an as-is sale. As is, so whatever, you know, it's a sale. That's it. With achrayas means that truth is, it's not as much as a defect in the house as much as if for some reason the house itself is seized as payment for a debt, for a pre-existing debt that the seller agrees to make the buyer whole. Make the buyer whole.
Whether you can go after the buyer himself for the assets, or whether you have to only go against the property.
No, you go after the buyer himself. Well, I say that again.
Is the distinction of achrayas whether or not you can go and get the money from the buyer, or whether you're only limited to the property?
No, the issue of achrayas is a buyer seller issue. So, meaning, if for some reason property that is sold from the buyer to the seller is then seized by a creditor. Let's assume in a normal case it's the seller's creditor. So the seller had a pre-existing debt, which means that the property he sold had a lien on it against that debt. Buyer then subsequently seller sold the property to the buyer. Then let's say seller's creditor came, seized the property that the buyer now has in satisfaction of the seller's debt. So buyer has the ability to go back to the seller and demand to be made whole. That's called achrayas. So we'll say, so Ruvain sold a field to Shimon shalab achrayas. Ruvain sold a field to Shimon without any responsibility. Listen to this. So now after Shimon bought it, va'asa Shimon u'machro l'Ruvain b'achrayas, Shimon then went back and sold it back to Ruvain with achrayas. Okay, so we'll say same piece of land, changing hands back and forth. But first time around again, Ruvain to Shimon, no achrayas. Shimon to Ruvain with achrayas. Now watch this. Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph. Va'asa balchov du Ruvain v'katarif le'minei. But this is a great case. So now what happens? Who comes and seizes the field? Ruvain's creditor. Now remember, in this last case, who is Ruvain? Ruvain is the purchaser. Ruvain is the purchaser. He's the buyer. So Ruvain purchased this land from Shimon Achrayas. Ruvain's own creditor comes along and seizes Ruvain's field, right, in satisfaction of a debt that Ruvain had to his creditor. I'm sorry. Ruvain was the, but right now he's the purchaser. Correct. He was the original owner. But the truth is, for this case over here, doesn't even matter. The idea over here is Ruvain sold to Shimon without achrayas. Shimon sold back to Ruvain with achrayas. Ruvain's own creditor. He owes Levi $1,000. So Ruvain's own creditor comes and seizes the property that Ruvain bought from Shimon with achrayas in satisfaction of the debt. So says what's the halacha? Now, see, here's the interesting question. So now, technically speaking, Ruvain's land was just seized. Shimon sold Ruvain that land with achrayas, which meant that Lamai said, for some reason you don't have the land, I will make you whole. So what? May I proceed? So now the Gemara says, listen to this. Zasabach of the Ruvain Katarif Leiminei. Now listen to this. Dinohu da'azul Shimon umefatzile. So the halacha is that Shimon has to go ahead umefatzile. Look at Rashi. Dinohu da'azul Shimon umefatzile. Kishim she'ilu machra Shimon zele ish achar ba'achrayus uba ba'chov de Ruvain v'tarfa hayash Shimon mefatzehu va'al Ruvain lo yuchal achzor shari yachal ba'shahare l'shlo ba'achrayus l'chay menu kein sha'amr l'Ruvain asu yafetzalo. So we'll say the halacha is that Shimon the seller must go ahead and take care of Ruvain's creditor. In other words, we both say, which is another way of saying that Shimon sold the field to Ruvain with achrayas, which means now that Lamaisa, now that Ruvain's field is seized, Shimon must now make Ruvain whole. So we both say, quite amazing. Amali Rava. Rava says, 1 second. Nehi da achrayas da alma kabil alei, achrayas da nafshe mi kabil alei. So Rava says, 1 second, when Shimon sold that field to Ruvain ba'achrayas, what does that mean? What does achrayas mean? Achrayas means that Shimon says, listen, if for some reason somebody comes along and seizes that field because I, Shimon, the seller, owe them money. So meaning somebody seizes that field in satisfaction of a debt that I am responsible for, then I agree to make you whole. Look at Rashi. Now Rashi understands this a little bit more globally. What Rava says, what Shimon is makabel to, is if for some reason that land is seized from you for essentially any reason other than yourself. Meaning, for example, let's say, I'll give you another case. So the classic case would be that Shimon sells the field to Reuven with Achrayis, and Shimon's creditor comes and seizes the field from Reuven in satisfaction of a debt that Shimon owes to his creditor. That's a clear case. That's Achrayis. Shimon has to make Reuven whole. Let's say the king seizes it, and the king is just levying unfair taxes, and the king seizes Reuven's property from him that he bought from Shimon with Achrayis. That would also be a case where Shimon would be obligated to make Reuven whole. But what Rav is saying is like this. Shimon says to Reuven, when am I obligated to make you whole? When the property was seized, either because of something I did or because of something generally occurring. But if the field was seized because of something to do with you, I have nothing to do with that. Therefore, in this case, where the field that Reuven bought from Shimon with Achrayis was seized in satisfaction of a debt that Reuven owes, Shimon doesn't have any level of Achrayis to that. However, Umol de Rava, but Rava will agree, listen to this, Beruven Shiarash Sadami Yaakov, if Reuven went ahead and inherited a field from Yaakov, so remember again, Reuven's father is Yaakov. Yaakov dies, leaves Reuven a field. Umachra l'shimin shlo b'achrayis. Reuven then sold his Yerusha to Shimon without Achrayis. Va'asa Shimon umachra l'Reuven b'achrayis. And Rabbi says, same case. Then Shimon turns around and what? Shimon turns around and sells the field back to Reuven with Achrayis. Va'asa b'achov d'Yaakov v'katarif l'minei. And I will say what happens. Now a creditor. So remember again, Yaakov's the father. Yaakov dies, leaves the field to Reuven. Reuven sells the field to Shimon without Achrayis. Shimon then sells the field back to Reuven with Achrayis. Now what happens? A creditor of Yaakov, right? So a creditor of the deceased father now comes along and what? Seizes the property from Reuven. Seizes the property from Reuven in satisfaction of a debt owed to Reuven's father. Everyone will agree that what? Everyone will agree, meaning Rava will even agree, that in that case, Shimon will be obligated to make Reuven whole if indeed the property is seized. Why? Because that's an example of where the property is seized by someone or something outside of Reuven. In other words, that even Rava is agreeing that Achrayis does not just mean that the seller says, essentially, I'm giving you insurance if for some reason this field is seized by one of my creditors, so I'm insuring the property to pay you back. It's not just the seller's creditors. What he's essentially saying is, if this field is sold, is seized for any reason, just the one exception will be what? The one exception will be if it's your own issues. If it's your own issues, then the seller says, I have nothing to do with that. But leaving aside your own issues, lemaisa again, at the end of the day, I insure this property to make you whole if it's seized for any reason.
Therefore, pay off the debts of your... isn't there something about...
Right, the Yerushim have to pay off the... Oh, we're going to come to that. Good. We're going to come to that. So the Gemara says, my time, well, what's the reason for that? Bachov di Yaakov ki bachov di Alma. Because we'll say, in this case over here, a creditor of Yaakov, who happens to be a creditor of Reuven's father, is just like any other external creditor. And therefore, again, Shimon, the seller, will be obligated to make Reuven the purchaser whole. So Rabbi says, let's be clear. So far, first we have a fundamental machlokes, because the Tanakhama in this case held that Lamaisa, in the first case, where again, Reuven sold to Shimon without Achrayis, Shimon sold back to Reuven with Achrayis, and then the creditor of Reuven seized Reuven's property in satisfaction of a debt. So Tanakhama said that Shimon, you guaranteed the property. You said no matter what happens, you'll make Reuven whole. Reuven's creditor sees that you're obligated to make him whole. Rava says, absolutely not true. All Shimon guarantees is if there's a property seizure from anyone else, either from Shimon's own creditor, or any general creditor. However, anything to do with Reuven's own finances, Shimon does not guarantee at all. So that's the fundamental machlokes. Omar Ibar Chama, so we'll say another case. You should know that Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like Rava, the Rambam Paskin is like Rava. Namely, again, that when you sell with Achrayis, this is very important, you are not just guaranteeing the land if you, the seller's creditor, collects it, but rather you are also guaranteeing the land if for some reason the property is taken by anyone else. The only exception will be the purchaser himself. If there's something to do with the purchaser's own finances, that the seller does not guarantee.
You're obligating yourself to do. acharias that does not include, that would only
be... Oh, yeah. You could stipulate whatever you want. Whenever you stipulate at the outset, that's fine. The idea is in the absence of stipulations. So, Rabbi Bar Chama said, Reuven shemach asad el Shimon b'acharias. So, Rabbi Bar Chama said that Reuven, who sold the field to Shimon with acharias, v'zakif alav b'milvas. Listen to this. Then what happened? So we'll say, let's play this out. So Reuven sold the field to Shimon with Achraias. Let's call it for $5,000. Okay, then what happened? So Shimon didn't have the money. So what did they do with the purchase price? They structured the purchase price as a loan. Essentially, again, now Shimon owes Reuven $1,000, $5,000. And what happened? Umes Reuven. So now we'll say, at this point in time, so Reuven died. Reuven, remember, was the seller of the property and who is now owed the money, who is now owed the $5,000 by Shimon. He dies. Umes Reuven. And what happened? The creditor of Reuven, meaning Reuven owed someone else $5,000. So what does creditor do? Creditor goes to Shimon. Remember, Shimon owed Reuven $5,000. Reuven's dead now. So now the creditor goes to Shimon to collect the $5,000. Upaisi bizuze. And ultimately, again, Shimon goes ahead, and instead of giving up the land to the creditor, Shimon gives the money, $5,000 cash, to the creditor. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osei? Dinohu da'amrile b'nei Reuven. So Rabbi Osei, so now understand, look at Rashi, upaisi bezuze, b'moos t'mei asada shu chayiv liyasmi, payis es hanosha b'shvil Reuven sheba achrayis machrolo. So Rabbi Osei, so listen to this. So now essentially, so Shimon takes that $5,000, that now at this point in time was really owed to the orphans, right? Because remember, again, when Reuven dies, his children inherit that debt or the entitlement to collect that debt. So the money that Shimon was going to pay to Reuven's Yarshim, to his orphans, he now pays to the creditor. Bishul Reuven shebach rayis machrolo. Okay, fine. So and what happens? So we'll say, Sedinahu, the halacha is, the amri le b'nei Reuven. So we'll say, listen to this. So the children of Reuven, the inheritors of Reuven, can now come to Shimon and they can say the following. Anan metaltili shavak avun gaboch. Our father essentially left metaltilin in your possession. We'll say, now what does that mean? That you owed our father money. You owed our father money, right? Let me say again, you owed our father $5,000. And that's now owed to us. O metaltili diyasmi lebal chov lo mishtabadi. Now, we'll say, it's a very interesting halacha that although the inheritors, or the Yershim, inherit the debts of their father, so when you collect debts from an estate owned by orphans, you can only collect debts against real property. You cannot collect debts against movable property. So look what the Yershim could say to Reuven, succeeding to Shimon. Shimon, it's very nice that you paid off the debt, but the truth is you had no right to pay off that debt. That money is ours. That money is ours, and it's true. Our father has a creditor that we have to deal with, but that creditor has absolutely no rights in that money. So essentially what they're telling Shimon now is what? What are they telling him? You still owe us $5,000. It's very nice that you decided to pay that off, but that was not your prerogative. You owe us $5,000. Amar Rava, supposed to listen to this. So Rava says, okay, you want to play that game? E-P-K-ach idach. So if Shimon is a smart guy, so remember again, so the Gemara just said over here, Dinahu. So although the technical law is that the Yarshim, Reuven's children, could go to Shimon and say, you had no right to give away that money, therefore that money belongs to us. So if that's the case, ipikeach idach, if Shimon is a smart guy, what could he do? Magbi lehu nehelahu ara. So you know what he could do? He could say, fine, you know what? I don't have the money anymore, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you back the land, right? What am I going to do? I took my $5,000 cash. I paid it off to your father's creditor. You know, I don't know what else to say. But I'll give you back the land. You can take the land. So he gives him back the land. He's saying, watch this. And then what does he do right afterwards? Vahadar gabi le minayu. And right after he gives them back the land, what could he do? What could Shimon do? He takes it right back from them. Why, Rabosai? Because remember again, Shimon bought the land without Raius, which means that if for some reason the land is ever seized from him, and especially in this case over here, where it's seized from his own quote-unquote creditor, seized by Shimon, Lemaisa, again, the seller, and by extension, the estate of the seller, have the obligation to make this purchaser whole, so he can go ahead and he could give the money, he could give the land right back to the Yarshim, and then again, remember, now he has the Achrayas clause, he can go back and collect that same land right back. Kirav Nachman. Dumb Rav Nachman, I will say, this is in accordance with Rav Nachman. Dumb Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Yisomim Shegavu Karka Bechova Savihem. If you have orphans that collected property in satisfaction of a debt owed to their father, meaning I will say, so let's say someone owed the estate money, and the Yisomim collect money, collect land, in order to satisfy that debt, what's the halacha? Balchov go chozer vegova osamit mehen. If there is another creditor that has a claim against the estate, that creditor can collect that very same land that the orphans collected in satisfaction of their debt. So therefore, I will say, again, so in this case over here, as much as the orphans' claim against Shimon is correct, you had no right to pay that $5,000 to our father's creditor because that $5,000 is not encumbered by the creditor. So Shimon says, okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Take back the land. But just again, realize once he gives back the land, in the next breath, he's entitled to go and take it back. Because he bought this property with achrayis. It's fascinating cases. So Amar Rabba. Rabba said,
He didn't pay, I mean, technically he didn't pay the yorshim for the land.
He paid off the creditor.
He paid off the creditor. Land back. Why is there achrayis?
Because now he's outland. He's outland. He doesn't have it anymore.
But he gave it back of his own volition. It's not like
he gave it back to satisfy a debt. They're saying you still owe us $5,000.
But the debt was the original
purchase of the land. I understand, but it's still a debt. Lemaisa, again, it's still a debt. Remember,
that's kind of like the first case where he got himself into this mess.
No, he didn't, because here's the difference. He paid off their debt. He paid off, this is different.
What he should have done was
pay it off with the land and take it back.
We know that.
The first step was wrong.
We know that, but at the end of the day, Lemaisa, again, he still paid off their debt, meaning he provided an objective service for the estate. That's why they're letting him do this. Mm-hmm. Lemaisa, again, he paid off the debt of the estate. So to leave him holding the bag in total is not fair to him. So therefore, again, the Chazal felt they have to give him some kind of recourse with this. Because remember, in this case, let's be clear, it's the Yisumim who are acting inappropriately. Right? Because remember, again, this guy paid off their debt. So now you want to play games and say he had no right to pay back the debt. You still owe us the money. So you're going to double charge him. So that's not right. You want to play that kind of game? There are other mechanisms as well. So the Gemara says the following. So the Amar Rabba, Ruben Shemachar Kol Sados of Lishimin. So we'll say if Reuben went ahead and sold all of his fields to Shimon, now this is Reuben owns multiple types of property, and he sells it all to Shimon. The Chazer Shimon, Umachar Sada Achas LaLevi. And what happens? Shimon comes along and he sold property to Levi. So he sold one piece of property, one field to Levi. Va'asa Balchov de Reuven. Va'asa Balchov de Reuven. Supposed to say this again, one more time. Reuben sold all of his property to Shimon. Shimon sold one field to Levi. Va'asa balchov de Reuven. And now what happens? Reuven has a creditor. The creditor comes to Reuven. Ratza mizegova, ratza mizegova. And I will say, so now the creditor of Reuven comes. Now at this point in time, what does Reuven own? Nothing, because he sold off everything to Shimon. So now the creditor of Reuven, in order to collect his debt, is going to have to go to Shimon or to Levi. So the halacha is the creditor has the right to go to Shimon or Levi. He can go to whoever he wants. So the Gemara says, Ella, velo amran, Ella dizabna benonis. Now, both say, now this is only true if Levi bought benonis property. Now, both say, it's very important halacha, which we have not really gotten into because this is not the sugya for it, is that when you have the right to collect property, sold properties, if somebody owes me money and that person sold the properties and I want to collect property or collecting property in general, you only have for satisfaction of a debt. You only have the ability to collect what's called benonis. Benonis means middle grade property. It's not idis. Idis is the best. It's not ziburis. Ziburis is the most inferior. You have the ability to collect middle of the road, average property. So when do we say that the creditor has the right to collect from Shimon or Levi, or I should say even Levi? That's only if Levi purchased some benonis property. But if Levi did not purchase benonis property, aval zabna idis viziburis. But if Levi only purchased Idis, best type of property, or Ziburus, inferior property, Matzi Amrali, he could say to the creditor, Lahachi Tarchi Vizabini Arad Lachazi Lacha. But say, listen to this. Remember, if Levi did not buy Bain on his property, but all Levi bought was Idis or Ziburus, so when the creditor knocks on Levi's door, so Levi could say, nothing doing. I went out of my way to Dafka purchase Idis property and Ziburus property in order that what? In order to shield myself from any creditor's claims. Furthermore, and furthermore, even if Levi does have Beinonis, the creditor can only collect from Levi when? Ela delo shavak Beinonis de kavasa. Only where Shimon doesn't have any equivalent Beinonis. Aval, however, shavak beilonis the kamasa. But Rabbi say, if again Shimon still possesses regular collectible beinonis as well, matzi amarle, so technically speaking, Levi can say, hinachti l'chamakom l'gavos imenu. I left you place to collect from Levi. In other words, Rabbi say, that this is very interesting. So now we're qualifying this statement. So technically, so remember, again, there are three steps so far. There are three steps. Step number one, Reuven sold off all of his property to Shimon. Shimon sold the field to Levi. Now what happens? Reuven's creditor shows up, and Reuven's creditor says, you owe me money. Reuven says, I have no fields, but I sold everything to Shimon, and Shimon sold them to Levi. So technically, creditor has the right to go to Shimon or to Levi, whoever he wants to satisfy his debt. The Gemara qualifies that. That's only true if what? If Levi has beinonis, right? If Levi has beinonis. But if Levi has no beinonis, then ultimately the creditor cannot show up. Furthermore, again, when we say that he can collect from Levi, that's only if what? If Shimon doesn't have equivalent beinonis. But if Shimon has equivalent beinonis, Levi can easily deflect the creditor back onto Shimon. Say, why are you coming to me? You have no right. You have no, what right do you have to collect from me? Collect from Shimon. Now, we'll say, obviously, technically speaking, Shimon could also make that same claim as to saying, ultimately, why are you collecting from me? You could collect from Levi as well, because I will say they're all mortgaged properties. Remember, once a property is mortgaged, once it's encumbered, it doesn't make a difference how many times it changes hands. Remember, once Reuven borrowed that money, all of his property is encumbered, so it could change hands 15 times. And the latter purchasers have no less of there's no less of a lien for the latter purchases than there is to the earlier purchasers. But Lamais, again, the one claim that Levi would have is, why are you coming to me? There's an equal responsibility for you to go to Shimon. So who says I should have to give you? So the Gemara says the following. Amar Abaye, Reuven shemach rasada l'Shimon ba'achrayis. Eres Abaye says, if Reuven sold a field to Shimon with achrayis, with responsibility, meaning I'll make you whole if the property is taken, va'asa balchov the Reuven v'katar fleminei. And what happened? The creditor of Reuven comes and seizes the field from Shimon. So we'll say this seems to be a pretty straightforward case, right? The regular case with Achrayus, creditor of Reuven comes, Reuven is the seller, creditor of the seller comes and seizes the property from the purchaser in satisfaction of a debt that the seller owes him. So what's the halacha? Dinahu da'aza Reuven umifasile. We'll say, listen to this. So Reuven has the right to go ahead and go to the creditor and try to figure something out with the creditor before the creditor goes in and seizes the property. And Rabbi said, now what's the chiddush in that? V'lo matzi amrle lav bal dvarim didiat. Rabbi said, now listen to this. Let's play this out. Reuven borrowed $5,000 from creditor, we'll call him. And what happens? He has one piece of property that he owns for $5,000. Reuven then sells that piece of property to Shimon. Okay, so now Shimon owns the property. Fine. Creditor shows up to Reuven and says, pay my money. Reuven says, I have nothing. So creditor says, no problem going to Shimon to take the property. It's encumbered. Okay. So now the halacha is like this. Reuven has the right to demand that the creditor sit down with him and try to work out some type of payment of this debt or something, to work out something before the creditor automatically goes and seizes the property. And Rabbi said, the chiddush of that is what? That the creditor should be able to say, I don't want to talk to you. Meaning, if you don't have money, we have nothing to talk about, right? I'm going to get my property. But yet the halacha says that the creditor must still go ahead and at least have the conversation. Remember, I'll say he's entitled to get his money, but he's got to have the conversation with Reuven. Why? He can't say, lav bal dvarim didia. Once you don't have money, so you and I, we have nothing to talk about. Why? Mishum da amar lei de mafkas, excuse me, umafsile velo masi amar lei lav bal dvarim didiat, mishum da amar lei de mafkas minei alehadar. So we'll say, because listen to this, look at Rashi for just a moment. The mafkas minei alehadar, masha ata motzi imenu yachzor alai. Because we'll say, Reuven could say to the creditor, this does involve me. You know why this does involve me? Because I sold the property with achrayus. Which means that if you go ahead and you seize that property and satisfaction of the debt that I owe you, you seize that property from Shimon, what's Shimon's next stop going to be? His next stop is going to be my house. Therefore, I am still a part of this process. So because I'm still a part of this process, you owe it to me at least to discuss options. I will say again, remember, we're not in any way weakening the creditor's claim. The creditor still owes the money. But Lamaisa in this case, Reuven is still able to tell the creditor, we need to speak because, again, this is going to impact me as well. Vikadarmi, others explain, afilu shalobach rayas nami. They also listen to this. Others say that this is true even if Reuven sold the field to Shimon without achrayas. Now, also remember, if Reuven sold the field to Shimon without achrayas, what's the halacha? If Reuven owes someone else Reuven owes creditor $5,000. Creditor comes and seizes the field from Shimon. What's Shimon's recourse against Reuven? Nothing. He has no achrayus. But even then, Reuven could demand that the creditor sit down and discuss this situation with him. Why? The Amarle lo necha li ditehavi le Shimon tar omes alai. So because Reuven could say, you know, even when you seize the property from Shimon, so as much as Shimon doesn't have legal or financial recourse against me, but Lemaisa, again, he's going to be bregis with me. Right? He's going to be upset. And the truth is, it doesn't look right for me. It also doesn't look good for my standing as a businessman. If after I sell property, so the properties that I sell are seized by my creditor. Even though in this case, again, Shimon has absolutely no recourse, legal recourse against me, but Lemaisa, it's not nice for me for people to have claims against me. Amr Abaye said, Reuven, so we'll say, remember, the common denominator in those cases is just that the Maisa, Reuven could demand a talk with the creditor, and the creditor does not have the right to say, you know, go away, lav bal dvorim didiat, you and I have nothing more to speak about, but rather, again, he would be obligated to sit down with Reuven. So Amr Abaye said, Reuven, shemachar sadol l'shimin shelo ba'achrayis, another interesting case. If Reuven sold a field to Shimon without achrayus, so both say again, remember, no responsibility. V'yatzo alav asikin. Now listen to this. Now while they're dealing with this land or in the midst of the purchase of this land, asikin. Rashi says orerin. What happened? That it came up that people began to raise rumors that Reuven doesn't really own the land. Reuven's not the real owner of the land. So this is in the middle of the time that they're trying to go ahead and negotiate and make a deal. So what's the halacha? If Shimon did not go ahead and do a chazaka yet, meaning we'll say if he didn't take ownership yet, so what's the halacha? Yachar lachzer bo. Then lemaisa, again, he could go ahead and he could go back on the sale. Rashi points out, imlo nasan ma'os. Remember, again, money acquires property. One of the ways that acquire property is through money. Sif Shimon has not yet paid the money, and now what happens? The rumor mill is starting that Reuven doesn't really own that property, so Shimon has the ability to say, I want out. He has the ability to say, I want out. So we'll say, now the chiddush over there is when they'll see themselves, obviously if he didn't pay the money, he can get out. The chiddush is, remember, we'll see that there are concepts that once you give your word to engage in a particular transaction, barring any unforeseen circumstances, you should honor your word. Now, the ideal here is, this obviously is an unforeseen circumstance. You're getting ready to purchase the property, then order, and then people begin to object and say that Reuven doesn't really owe the money. So you can understand why that's good grounds for Shimon to be able to get out. However, but Rabbo said, L'maiso, once he went ahead and what? Once he went ahead and did the chazaka, once he acquired the property, then he does not have the ability to go ahead and get out of the transaction. Look at Rashi. En yachal lachzerbo, shakarka nikne bechazaka. Because remember again, property is acquired through chazaka. Ki amalei chazik v'kani v'yesh shemachzikin miyad v'nosnin ma'os la'achrazman u'mishehechzik pon nischayv ha'ma'os. Rabbo said, here's what's interesting. So L'maiso, again, if he did a chazaka, now normally, again, remember, so you can, all Rashi's pointing out is that there are different ways of doing chazaka. Yes, you can go ahead and you can pay the money. Obviously, once you pay money, the transaction is done. But there are other times where, let's say, parties will agree that money will only exchange hands later. Like in the case that we saw before, perhaps, where the purchaser can't go ahead and afford to pay for the property right now, but he's going to set up a payment plan. In that case, he can make a chazaka. And I will say there are plenty of ways that you can go ahead and acquire land. You could work the land. You could put up a fence around the land. You could even walk around the perimeter of the land. All of these are forms of chazaka. So however it is that Shimon is acquiring the property, whether he's paying the money or whether he's doing some type of proprietary act on the property itself, once he has acquired it, lemaisa, again, even if there is orerin, there are people who think Reuven doesn't order to begin with, he can't renege on the transaction. So mishum da amar le chaisa diketiri sarvis vikabilas. And both said, this is quite amazing, because the seller could always say, Reuven could always say to Shimon, listen, you agreed to buy a bag filled with nuts. Now, what does that mean? You agreed to buy a bag filled with nuts? And both say, if you buy property without achrayis, what you are doing is what? You are assuming a huge amount of risk. So like Shimon, now so like Reuven says to Shimon, look, now you want to get out of this? You knew that you were buying something that had a risk with it, so you accepted the risk. You bought it. Everyone said, I want to be clear. Remember, this is exactly what Sasha Sharon, correct. Remember, the Gemara is not talking about the correctness of Reuven's actions. What it's saying is that Lamaisa was to us, and I want to be clear, also in the real estate market, you understand that property sold without achrayus would definitely be cheaper, much cheaper than property with achrayus. So remember, again, the lack of achrayus is reflected in the purchase price as well. So now, remember, at this point, I was like, so what's happening over here? So you can still see this playing out. Reuven sells the field to Shimon without achrayus. So remember, Shimon gives him the money, and right afterwards, a group of people starts saying, hey, Reuven, you never owned that field. That field belonged to us. And poor Shimon's sitting there having just paid his money. So Shimon says, I want out of this. I never, you know, at least the one thing I was banking on is that you really own the property. Now people are contesting the fact that you own the property, I want out. And Reuven says to Shimon, too late. You paid the money, you did the chazaka, you're done. The transaction is sealed. And remember, again, you also got yourself into this mess a little bit because Lamaisa, again, you decided to buy a property without achrayus. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, chaisa, sak, katan, a small bag, dekatiri, malik sharim, filled with knots, savris kabilis, bidami chatichas kesef, kilomar, nisratis la'abid ma'osecha misafik. When you, essentially now, Reuven gives Shimon Musar for buying a field without achrayus. Right, you got yourself into this mess by going out and purchasing property without achrayus. So this is what happens. You assume some level of risk. Now, both say, yeah, so you assume some level of risk. Now, both say, I want to be clear on one thing. If it turns out that Reuven was not the owner of the field, and he was never the owner of the field, then there's grounds perhaps for Shimon to claim mekachtos, right? Because again, I thought I was buying a field that was owned by Reuven. Remember, Shimon, if it turns out that Reuven just sold him someone else's property, right? Reuven just lied to him and sold him someone else's property, Shimon will have halachic recourse. But the idea that the Gemara is saying over here is that the process would have to play out, and once Shimon did the chazak, he would not have the ability to renege. Another similar case. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, Ume emas machzikba, at what point in time do we say that chazaka has been done? Mechidayish amitzri. Ultimately, again, at the time that he walked, mechidayish amitzri means literally he walks around the perimeter of the land. The act of walking around the perimeter of a land as a way of establishing ownership ultimately creates chazaka. Ika da'amri, there are others who explain. No, afilu ba'achrayis. Now, this case is even more intriguing. Others say that this halacha applies even with achrayis. Now, what does this mean? So what happens? So Reuven sells Shimon a field with achrayis, and after Shimon gives Reuven the money, they're standing there, a group of people come to Reuven and say, Reuven, you don't own this field, you didn't have a right to sell it, so they're contesting his ownership. So Bosa again, so now Shimon says to himself, listen, give me back my money, and I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, this is not going to be good. They're going to prove you don't own the field. So instead of having to go through the entire process of having to collect my money back later on, or you make me whole later on, why don't we just say this was a mistake? Give me back my money. I'll give you back your field, and you take care of it with these people. So the halacha is, once Shimon has paid the money, Reuven has no obligation to return it to him, even though what? Shimon bought the field with achrayus. Why? Because we'll say, listen to this. Look at Rashi. Afilu b'achrayus nami, machra lo einu yochal lachzer bo, machmas asikin. Once Shimon has paid the money, even though he bought the field with achrayus, he doesn't have the ability to renege on the transaction because now people are coming along and saying that Reuven doesn't own the land. V'lo amrinon sof sof alei hadar va'atruchei daini. Lamalon. We'll say, now remember, let's say it's quite clear that in fact, you know, Reuven was wrong, he didn't own the land. So Shimon can't say, Reuven, you know, look, give me back my money, because if you don't give me back my money, I'm going to have to go to Beis Din, bring you to Beis Din, I'm going to have to go through a whole process. And remember, I bought the property with achrayus, which means at the end of the day, I have the upper hand, and if the property is sealed, you're going to have to give me back the money anyway, so just give it back to me now. Well, so listen to this, da'am relay, because Reuven could always claim, achvi tirfach v'ashen lan lecha. Show me, literally, achvi tarfach, show me your star, show me the document that says that the property was seized by someone else, and I'll give you back your money. In other words, we'll say that, what does Reuven say to Shimon? You know what? If the property is seized, I'll make you whole. But right now, there's nothing to talk about. We'll say, so remember, Reuven is not trying to backtrack. Reuven is saying, I sold you property with achrayus, and indeed, should the property ever be seized, tirfach literally means, if you look at Rashi, achvi le tirfach, shtar tirfach mi beiz din, shakas v'lecha, shiyatza hasada mi adecha, bedin v'takshra la litrov. We'll say, in general, if a person bought a field, and that field, they bought a field with achrayus, and that field was then seized by the creditor of the seller. They'd go to Beis Din. Beis Din would write them up a shtar that says the property was seized by the creditor of the seller. Then what would happen? The purchaser would then go with that shtar to the seller, who sold them b'achrayus, and would demand to be made whole for the property. So Reuven says to Shimon over here, so remember, Shimon just bought the field b'achrayus. He gave the money to Reuven. As you're standing there, people come to object to Reuven's ownership of the land. So Shimon says to Reuven, please, let me just get out of this. I have no interest in this. Plus the fact you sold me this b'achrayus, which means that l'maisa, again, if the people are right, they're going to take the field from me. I'm going to go back to you. You're going to have to make me whole. Why don't we just call the whole thing off right now? Give me back my money. To which Reuven could claim, I'm not giving you back anything. If and when the property is seized from you, you'll bring your shtar to your father, bring your shtar to me, and what? And I'll make you whole. But I have absolutely no obligation to make you whole, to return your money now, before anything has occurred. All right, the boss, we'll stop over here. You guys should pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. Sorry? Good, I'm Tosis, good, I'm more Mishnah, Sisharan. Beyond time.